Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. I'm Dan Rettina, the founder of Dan's Papers. And my guest today is Rachel Corsi, who is the executive director of the Montauk Chamber of Commerce. And when you started this was last September, you told me?
Yes, I actually fully jumped into the role January of this year. So it is a fairly new position for me.
So you're working in this small building, which is right smack in the middle of town in the circle. And people come in and say, where's the action? Or they say, what's the most expensive place in town to sleep? Or why is the ocean so loud? Or whatever.
We get all the questions.
Some of the years, I don't know if it's still this, but years ago, I was standing in Montauk in front of White's Drugstore, which my dad owned right on the circle. And the car pulled up and a man shouted, how far is the lighthouse? And I said, just drive out east out on the highway and you'll see it. And about 20 minutes later, and you know, there's a circle out there. So he was back. And he said, how much further?
Oh, geez.
That's about 10 miles, both. It's 5 miles each way. Anyway, that's a funny story. What have you had? What's the most interesting questions you've had over this year so far?
Well, we get a lot of people coming in and they do say, where's the action? You know, where do we see the sea life? Now we have all the people coming in because there's so much traffic. We get people saying, how do we beat the traffic? Or where are the back roads to get out of Montauk and to the lighthouse? And you just have to say, you're one way in, one way out, but it's worth the wait and it's worth the drive. So those are the biggest questions that we get right now is, what time's the best time to leave? And where do we go in the back roads? And there's no back roads, really. It's just one way in, one way out.
What's happening? What is coming up in the last week of July, first couple of weeks in August?
Yeah, so right now, we, Chamber of Commerce, we have our Concerts on the Green happening. It's a free community event. It's for locals, for visitors, where we bring in a local band to come in and play on the green every Monday night from 6 to 8 p.m. This happens every Monday, so the next one will be July 13th, and that will run through to August 17th. We have some great local bands, you know, The Realm, The Dog Watchers, Annie Trezza, Julia Ray, Sarah Conway, and Hello Brooklyn to finish the show for us. So it's a great way to bring a cooler, shop at your local businesses beforehand, get some takeout food, sit on the green with your family and picnic from 6 to 8 p.m. They're really great shows and a ton of fun. And then every Thursday, we have the Farmers Market as well. That's a fan favorite. We love to tell our visitors. That happens from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Thursday. And then starting in the fall in September, they happen every Friday. And then they will be at the October Fall Fest, which I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast knows what happens at the Fall Fest. Right. That will be October 10th and 11th, Saturday and Sunday. It's actually the 45th annual Fall Fest. So this is going to be a good one.
What are the things that are going to happen
at the Fall Fest? Yeah, well, we have our chowder contest that happens only on Saturday. That's probably, you know, one of the biggest reasons why people come in the first place. They take their mugs very seriously and the chowder very seriously. So we have the chowder contest. We have the farmers market. We have live music. We have bouncy castles and games and pumpkin drawings and really cool food vendors. We have food tents, drink tents, and just, you know, you can bring your lawn chairs and hang out all day, eat chowder, shop local. It's a great way to bring people together, especially in the fall season.
Is that all on the green in the center of town?
That is all on the town green.
What are other things happening or things to do?
Yeah, so we also have, starting August, September, many people might also know, there's the Seafood Fest, which is hosted by the Kiwanis Club and the Friends of Erin. That also happens on the town green. That's September 12th and 13th. That's also a ton of fun. Again, shop local. You get to try all the tremendous seafood that gets brought in from our local fishermen and the boating community, which is, you know, the heart of Montauk. So it definitely shows a lot of history. And I think that's another great thing that people can do, although it's not nearly on the shoulder season, but it's getting there with Labor Day and all that jazz. And then we do also have the Montauk Winter Holiday Fair that happens as well on the town green, which this will be the fifth annual Magic of Montauk. And that's when you have the live reindeer, you have more games and food trucks, and also live music. So that's December 12th and 13th. And then I'm not sure if you remember, but last December, we did our first annual art walk, which we paired up with the Montauk Artists Association. And with the businesses that closed down for the winter, instead of boarding them up, we partnered with local artists and we had their paintings and their pieces in some of the windows to light up Montauk a little bit more. So hopefully we will do that again for the month of November and December as well.
What are some of the attractions in Montauk that people should know about for the summer?
Yeah, so when people come in, that's also one of the questions that we get asked. So I think highlighting the lighthouse is, you know, what a lot of people come here to see. But I think what's great about heading to the lighthouse and showing people that is that there are so many different attractions on the way to the lighthouse. So as you're going east, you have Shadmore State Park, which overlooks the bluffs. And that's where you tell people you can see whales, dolphins, you know, in the shoulder season, you start seeing the seals. So that's always a great attraction. You can make it a long hike or a short hike. So I always tell people to just stop there, look over the bluffs. Then you have Ditch Plains as well. If you do want to do the long walk, you can walk there from Shadmore. You can see all the local surfers and, you know, the crowds of people. That's a really, really famous beach that a lot of people like to go to. Then you have Deep Hollow Ranch, which I like to send people to, especially families. It is the oldest cattle ranch in the U.S. I'm sure you know that, Dan, but I do like to tell people that fun fact. And when you say horses, people go crazy. So always stop there. And then you have the lighthouse, and it's beautiful. It has, you know, an amazing view. And then you have Camp Hero as well, which has so much history. And even on a rainy, go ahead.
Tell us Camp Hero.
Yeah. So I love to send people to Camp Hero. One, because if it's a rainy day, what's nice about it, it makes it a little more eerie. So even though it was a base for World War II, everyone hears the conspiracies, you know, about what was based off of Stranger Things. So it is fun. Some people come in with their Stranger Things t-shirts, and I like to send people over there again on a rainy day. It makes it so eerie, and you can drive through the entire park without getting out of your car, which is really nice as well. And again, so much history. And then when people do the lighthouse and they say, we've already been there, I love to send people to the harbor area. I think there's so much to do there between either going to lunch at Inlet Seafood and watching all the fishing boats go by, or heading to the harbor area and shopping at Gosman's Dock and making your way down the sidewalk where you have all the local fishing boats where you can get on. You have all the local restaurants that have great seafood, live music, and a great sunset. So I think there's something for everyone here, and cater to what you like and prefer. We're here to showcase those places.
But is there anything new that's been constructed or new businesses that people should know about?
Yeah, I think that there are new businesses. Well, Gosman's Dock has some new boutiques, which is great. You can walk around and shop there, which is really a ton of fun. We have the new beach over at Gosman's as well. So you can finally take your beach chairs and, you know, go to Sammy's food truck and eat at the beach and enjoy the day there, which is really fun. You have some new restaurants on that strip as well. Barlalo is a new taqueria, which is really great. So there are a couple of things that are new. Barlume Beach is located on East Lake, which is really nice as well. So you do have some new businesses.
The New Beach, is that at Culloden Point?
Yes, it's on Sunset Beach. So it's the beach located right at Gossman's. And we just had our fireworks event yesterday over there. They were launched off of a barge and it was a great event. There were a ton of people on the beach, on Gin Beach, out on their boats. So it was a really great event. I know the fireworks haven't happened there in a while. So I think it was great to give business over there and have people, you know, be able to walk and, you know, eat and shop a little bit and then enjoy the fireworks.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Were you able to see it yesterday?
I was in the tent, and so many people went to Main Beach Fireworks, which is back after a 20-year
Wow.
change, that they had to shut it down the roads leading out there because there was no place for the cars to park. So I
Wow.
didn't see it. We got as far as 100, maybe 200 yards from it. The police were there barricading it all. And then the fireworks happened with us not there. And then the storm came through. And
Yeah.
I called the police after that because I wanted to know if they were going to have a rain date, if it all got wet. And no, they got it all off. Was that
Well,
also in my
yeah, it was down to the last minute. I was actually the one that makes the phone call to have the fireworks set off. So for me, it was a little nerve-wracking seeing the big clouds and lightning. But we got those fireworks to light off and everyone was very happy. And the firework company, Grucci Fireworks, did a great job. It was a smooth event and I'm happy that everyone enjoyed it. And we couldn't have thanked local town enforcement and agencies for their help too, because for us, we haven't had it in the harbor area in a long time. So without the logistical planning, we started planning this about January. So without local agencies, we would not have been able to do this event. And they made it as smooth as possible for us.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in Montauk or been out here.
Yeah, I've been in Montauk since 2020. Came out here during COVID after I graduated college. And my friend and I found a job listed on LinkedIn to come out to Montauk and work at Gurney's and get free housing. So we show up to a place we've never been to before and had said, we'll just come out for a couple months and then we'll head back home in Westchester. That's where I'm from. And, you know, we'll have a great memory of working in Montauk. And that was 6 years ago and I'm still here. I started hosting at Gurney's. Then I came back another summer and started serving. Then I was a server in a couple of restaurants out here. I started bartending after serving. I've worked in some of the restaurants out here, Yacht Club, The Bird, Alimentari, The Point. So you probably know how it works. You kind of just bop around and work where you can. It's a small community. And I actually ended up moving out here full-time 3 years ago now. I love it out here. Summer, fall, winter, spring. I think each season brings more of a beautiful, charming side out of this town, especially with the community. As crazy as it is in the summer, the local community is so great and it's small and it's beautiful. And, you know, we're all one family here and it's great. So then I jumped into this role, just like you said. I started learning about the role in September and then I fully jumped in January. And it's been nothing but amazing having the support from not only local community, but local business owners and our board of director. There's about 18 board of directors that are business owners that take so much time out of their busy days to help and support me and what we do. So I think it's a great way to connect with the businesses, support them, and do what we can to make Montauk a year-round destination and support businesses as much as we can.
Have you had any contact and work done with the Playhouse?
We've been in contact with them about their new renovation and the pool, and they're honestly amazing to work with. And we are trying to help them with events, actually. So if we can make the connection between whether it's a hotel that doesn't have a space for corporate events, or if people are traveling from up island, we are hoping that we can be the funnel to giving that connection to the Playhouse and giving them business in that sense. But it's a great space and they've done a tremendous job.
They have indeed. That was
Yeah.
It was originally an amazing facility at the time. It was a glass enclosed tennis court built in the 1980s.
Wow.
And it had, I believe, 4 or 8 courts inside. It was connected up with the Montauk Manor, but it's located directly between the railroad station and the manor on the hill. So at that time, it was much quieter in Montauk, but the developer, Carl Fisher, had built the manor, this half-timber English hotel on the hill. And
Wow.
this became the welcoming place. And also, they didn't have inflatables in. They had literally like a glass greenhouse, but it's giant, very unique. And
Yeah.
I'll tell you the history, right? We might as well. It's the most incredible history. The Fisher Enterprise started in the 20s, but it went bust in the 30s, early 30s. And the Playhouse, what's now the Playhouse, was abandoned for 20 years and then taken over in World War II by the Army. And they had sessions there and soldiers in there, and they stayed in barracks buildings, which are no longer built. They're gone. But after that, it became the Summer Theater. That's how it got its name. And at that time, there was traveling troops that were doing summer stock and doing Broadway shows. So you could watch a Broadway show in what's now the Playhouse.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw them there. I was there then. And just prior to that time when it was abandoned, before it was abandoned, it had become, this is going to sound incredible, it became a venue for boxing. They had a boxing ring there and they would have bouts. And it was originally built as a boxing ring for the soldiers. And then they would have, after the war ended, they continued with that for a while. And then later it became a roundup point for Deep Hollows Ranch cattle drive. They had cattle out at the Montauk. I never saw this. It ended before my time, but in the fall, the steers fattened up out at the ranch would be driven into town and then down to the railroad station, but corralled into the old tennis court building. And
Wow.
so it had a dirt floor. You know, it was just one big space. That's pretty much the history. Then it became a hotel again after all this time. In the 60s, it was thriving. And then that closed down around 1980, I guess. And then it never reopened until the town took it over to make it what is surely the largest town facility on Long Island. I mean, it's an enormous space. Anyway,
it is.
brief history of that.
Wow. I'm very glad that I had a little history lesson today.
Yes. At one point, as I mentioned, my parents owned and ran White's Drugstore for 20 years, and they had storage there in Playhouse Building. And at one point when they were clearing it out, I got my mother's checkbook from the store, which had been in some boxes in the Playhouse that they had stored, and it was like 20 years old, you know.
Wow.
Stuff like that. Such a Montauk has such an amazing history. Just,
it really does.
so is there anything that goes on out at Navy Beach or where the old torpedo testing station used to be? Is there, there's a dock out there. And
yeah, well, you have the beautiful restaurant, Navy Beach, that has, you know, brunch and dinner. It's a great place to watch the sunset and eat because they have lounge chairs and whatnot and delicious food. Navy Beach itself, you can lounge there for the day. You can bring your car on the beach. A lot of people will have bonfires there, watch the sunset. And also you can view all the incredible yachts that dock there and spend the day there. They'll take their jet skis out from the yacht and their little dinghies. And I don't want to forget about the dog park because it is my favorite place in Montauk.
Where is that? I don't even
The
know.
dog park, it might be called something different. I just call it the dog park, but I call it doggy heaven because if you head over the train tracks instead of making a right towards Navy Beach Restaurant, you make a left and you follow the road down, you end up at this beautiful field that has hiking trails. And then you have a pier that people go fishing off of sometimes. And it's just this big, beautiful open field. There's a boat ramp, and there's always tons of dogs there that are just running around. And some of them will jump in the water and chase whatever they can in the water. Again, there's beautiful hiking trails. It's really, really such a special place. So I really do love to go over there.
Well, thank you for telling me about some of the stuff that's going to happen there this summer.
Thank you for the history lesson and for having me today.
Sure. Talk about, just for a minute or two, about the night venues where they have music and people partying and stuff. That's relatively new. I'd say it's been around for about 15 years now. But before that, they didn't have that there. But what are some of the places people go? Is Rush Myers one of them? And the one right by Industrial Road, the first one, what was that?
Montauk Project or Surf Lodge, maybe. Yeah, I can definitely touch base on a lot of these businesses. As like I said before, I think one of the most amazing things about Montauk is that there's something for everyone. So whether you're with your family and want a night out, or friends, bachelorette, bachelor party, I think what's beautiful about Montauk is it's catered to whatever you are feeling for that evening. You can go watch a sports game at your local sports bar, The Point or Shagwong's or Best Pizza, or you can have a club night per se with a DJ that will have, you know, great music. And again, a DJ, and that's, you know, happening at other places, like you were saying, Montauk Project and Surf Lodge. And then you can grab, you know, a cocktail if you'd like and listen to live jazz music at the Bird if you want, and something a little more low key with a nice ambiance. Or you can do outdoor live music they have at Westlake and Marlena's Packout in Salivars, live music at Gosman's Dock. They have, you know, community events like that. So when we talk about, you know, nightclubs and going out, I think, again, it's catered to what people prefer. And there is truly something for everyone and what you're looking for.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.